Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons Nation, welcome to episode 79. We're going to do something we've never done before. It's the best of the 2019 season episode. All of these clips that you are about to hear have been heard before. We've recorded them. They're from previous episodes. They're the best of the best, at least what we could find. Hopefully it's entertaining. Let's sit back, relax, and have a day. Let's go. What's up, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans? We're back for episode 79. You're going to hear me talk for 2 to 3 minutes here, and then we're going to get into the highlights because this is a best of 2019 episode. What I have done is I have gone back through basically all the episodes from the beginning of the season until our latest episode, and I've found the top five moments or top five of the top moments that we've had in this last 4 months during the 2019 college football season. And we're going to mash them up, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. Hopefully it's entertaining. It's a little look back on the year. It was definitely a fun experience for me to go back through. Maybe not fun with all the time-consuming-wise, but to hear some of the conversations we've had over this past year, it was absolutely incredible. It inspires me and kind of gets me excited for what we have coming up, all the guests that we want to bring on, all the things we want to do with this podcast. It's been so amazing. We talk about it all the time. It's been incredible what we've been able to do, and we love doing it, and we're going to keep doing it. I mean, that's plain and simple. And so what we're looking at doing right here is a top five. Before we get into that, I want to say real quick, if you have not yet, check out our Patreon page. We do not have an active tier subscription system yet. Patreon, for those that don't know, is a platform where you can go and support your favorite podcast or creator. It's not just for podcasts, but we have a page on there. Eventually, this kind of coincides with a merchandise update that I'm going to give you guys here in a second. Eventually, hopefully in the next month or so, hopefully maybe live by February 1st, we're going to have three tiers on there where you can support us, and it's a monthly kind of donation. And not only does it help us and it just shows your support for the podcast, but you guys get something in return. And so in that tiered systems, $4, right now I have it set up at $4, $8, and $12. If you're going to, at the $4 level, you get a certain something. At the $8 level, you get that plus one or two more things. And then at the top $12 level, you'd get all of that plus a couple more things. So some of the things we're playing around with is access to the video portion of the podcast. I would love to put out the video to everybody, and it's something that I think everyone would enjoy. The problem is doing the video portion does start to take up a little bit more of my time. We don't get paid to do this. We made no money on the podcast. So it's something that if we're going to start releasing the video, it's going to take a little bit more of my effort. And so I have to get compensated somehow for it. And this would be it. It would be a very small deal. It's not like you guys are going to be paying crazy amounts, and it would be combined with a bunch of other cool stuff like merchandise, percentage off merchandise, exclusive merchandise to Patreon subscribers only, early release episodes, where if we record two episodes on Sunday and one of them is scheduled to come out on Thursday, you would get both of those episodes on Monday for the week, and a bunch of other cool ideas that that we've been kind of throwing around. So fortunate to have people that have already found that page and subscribe to us. And if you would go check that out, that would mean a lot to us as well. You do not have to subscribe. You're going to continue to get one or two episodes a week, whatever we put out for free forever. We'll never change that. But to get the extra goodies, they will be probably available in some kind of tiered system. Another point that I want to mention real quick is the best way to support us, even more than a Patreon paid subscription, would be to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps us get our name out there. It helps us stay at the top of kind of college sports pages. If you're searching for us, it helps us stay relevant because we don't do a very good job of making ourselves relevant. You guys know that. All right. All that being said, so fortunate, like I said, to have these good times to look back on. And now we're going to introduce to you the top five moments of the 2019 Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Here we go. Number five, Kevin tells the story of the first time he met AJ Epinesa.
Like a destroy the world.
If there's one beef that I have with AJ, it's this. I think I told you guys this too, is that like a week after he gets there, you know, it's summer workouts, summer of 2017. And I get on the elevator and he's like, hey, someone's like, hey, hold that elevator. I'm like, okay, cool. And on comes, on walks AJ Epinesa, hit 4-2. Oh. And he's like, hey, so like, are you one of the managers? I'm like, boy, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Not only was I a senior captain that year, he was a fucking true freshman and had the balls to call me a manager. He was genuinely sorry though, so man. But still, I got a little bit of beef with AJ. That was my first impression with him. And you know, I love him,
Kevin,
but I'm always gonna hate him too because that was bullshit.
That was the first impression, man. It went a long way.
That's one of the funniest stories maybe we've ever told on the podcast. And also, you can't give him too much crap about it because if you wear the right t-shirt, Kevin, and it doesn't really show like how muscular your arms are, I mean, you're just another 6'1" white kid in like
I mean, okay, so what does that say about the 5'10" white kid?
I was basically a glorified manager. I've said that multiple times. I'm not arguing anything about that. If he would have called me, if AJ would Epinesa would have called me a manager the first day that I ever met him, I would have just went along with it. Probably, I would have just said, "Yeah, I'm a special teams manager. I make sure that when they kick the field goals through, we get the ball back to the sideline and so everything goes.
Yeah, I should have just gone to Fed's office right after I got off the elevator. It's like, AJ says I'm a manager now, so I
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Number four, Miguel Racinos talks about the moments before beating Nebraska in 2018 on a last-second kick, his thought processes, and how right before he trotted on the field, he pissed his pants.
And I remember going into there, and I knew what I wanted to do. Like, I felt good about the kick and everything. But I went out there, and I just fucking had a technical mistake, which hadn't happened to me, like, all year. And I just remember thinking, like, just being so fucking mad. Like, I was on the sideline, and, like, people were saying shit to me, and I don't even really remember them scoring or getting the 2-point or anyone talking to me or anything like that. I don't remember any of that. Because I was literally pacing up and down the sidelines. I'm like, if I don't start pacing, I'm going to like throw my helmet into the stands. Like, I was so mad that it was like, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Drake. The red haze just starts to slip over. And like,
I've been so mad before, yes. That the head coach had to pull me off somebody on the sideline. So yes, I do understand what you're speaking of.
And like, there were coaches and players that were trying to talk to me, and I was literally like, get the fuck out of my way kind of thing. And I was just pacing up and down the sideline. And I distinctly remember, like, you know, I said this in the press conference, and I think people were just kind of like, thought I was bullshitting or something like that. But sir, I really had this like premonition where it's like, they're going to score and get the 2-point. I'm going to get another shot here. And I'm like, I'm not going to fuck this one up kind of thing.
That's great.
And I really believe that. Like, I didn't even watch the game because it really felt like I knew what was going to happen. So I literally have no memory from that 37 yarder to the 41 yarder, except for just me trying to keep myself calm. And
what a mental battle that was, I bet.
I'll tell you what, man, that plays strongly into all the stories we've told about how the times where we didn't know if we were going to make it through shit and how ridiculously hard it was. Like, it hardens your mentality the point where you do believe that you're going to be able to get it done. It takes the anxiety away and you have a true belief in yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go.
That's not entirely true. I do have one memory I think you guys will appreciate. I've said this to a few people, but as I was pacing down, I distinctly remember all of a sudden I remember like, holy shit, I have to take a piss like right now. Like, right now I have to take a piss. And I looked over, and this is, like, the play right before Nate's pass to TJ to get us in range.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to have to kick, possibly have to kick here in a few seconds. I'm not about to miss an opportunity for a game-winning field goal because I'm going to go take a piss. I will tell you right now, talking yourself into pissing your pants is, like, one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Like, genuinely one of the hardest things. And, like, the best part is people are trying to talk to me, and I'm like, don't fucking talk to me. I'm, like, trying to look up in the air and not look at anyone in the face to, like, do this. And it was pouring rain, so no one fucking knew, you know. And, it, like, that was a little funny. But at the time, I was so mad, I didn't even think about it. I was just, like, trying to get myself to do it. And then, like, pretty much after I finally got myself to do it, then I had to run on there and go kick the
So you're telling me right now on the Wash Up Walk-Ons that before Miguel Racinos hit a game winner to send Nebraska home, he pissed his pants on the sideline.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. So number three, Kevin gives a perfect KF impression of a bull prep meeting.
But if they wouldn't pay for your wife, could we get Lauren to stay at home and you just stay on a pullout in Keith and Colton's room? And then
all I need is, you know, all and I you can need probably is
a flight.
Yeah, because I can get a game ticket for free if it's just me.
For sure.
I'll hit up the guys. And
you'll
then,
find one ticket down there for sure.
Right. And if not, I'll just contact Ben and be like,
guy, I'm here.
Guy.
All right.
We
got to have a team meeting about this shit. Okay.
Oh, shit. All right.
You know, We're 2 days into this bull trip. I found out we got a goddamn guy who graduated 2 years ago living in the fucking rooms, okay? You know, do we know what's going on here? We came here to win a football game, okay? You know, you had your fun.
The fucking noise.
We gave you a fucking couple days to go run around and have fun and shit. And I found out we got this jackass who's doing a podcast living in one of the seniors' rooms, okay? How do we expect to win a bowl game with guys acting like this, all right? This is bullshit. You know, and that guy, he had his time, okay? He was a player for 5 years. He went to 5 bowl games, okay? He is not part of the team anymore. He should not be staying in your rooms, okay? And that's just bullshit.
I just want to bring something up quick, right? We got a –
Kluver, you guys remember Kluver, right? He graduated a couple years ago. I caught that fucking pass against Ohio State, all right?
Tripped over his own feet.
Could have scored, by the way, all right? All right, we find out he's living in Keystone. He's bunking in Dunk's room, all right? And I don't know. I must have missed the team meeting where I said it was okay to have other people staying in your room. But I don't give a fuck if it's Donald Trump. All right, we're not letting anybody in our room except for our team and our staff. Okay.
Number two, a Drake Kulik montage of telling stories, ranting, and trashing other teams. A couple times. Real quickly, Antonio Brown decides he's not playing in the NFL anymore. He just doesn't like money.
He did not decide that. He went on Twitter and used this, like, I've never seen somebody with a more astronomically large ego to start off with.
Incredible.
Secondly, I've also seen very few people who are this stupid. Like, this guy is actually a dipshit. And he has an ego the size of this planet. So he, like, has it twisted in his mind that he has the answers. This fucking clown did not decide that he's just not playing in the NFL. The NFL decided he's not playing in the NFL when they took away his $40 million worth of guarantees between two different teams in a two-month span. This fucking guy embarrassed himself, his family, disgraced the game of football. And quite frankly, I literally don't want to hear Antonio Brown's name again. If this asshole, this fucking piece of scum asshole, is just wiped off the planet and nobody has to hear his name again for the rest of eternity, everybody's better off because of it.
Oh, nice. Man. I just, like, I had written it off when they were up whatever it was, 14 or 17. I just hadn't gone back to that game anymore because I was like, I don't want to watch these assholes win. Like, if I'm going to watch Nebraska football play, it's going to watch them suffer and, like, watch them just create a bigger hole of heaping pile of shit that they are. And so I just kind of wrote it off and I'm like, wow, great. They got one, whatever. And then to actually hear that they got beat in a comeback like that, it just, like, That makes my whole year. Like, I'm so thrilled because all those people thought that they were, like, actually going to be a team. You know, their players are not tweeting. It's not going to matter when we win the Big Ten championship or whatever. Like, Suka Lamink, you guys are trash. You guys are a fucking mid-major Division I team. And, I mean, you guys are just going to get fucking rolled the whole season just because that's what you are. You're a bunch of worthless pile of shit. This guy is just kind of a personification of the entire state of Nebraska, just, like, ridiculously stupid. They're just, like, all dipshits. They just don't have any clarity on, like, what this world actually is.
They're all living in la-la land.
Seriously, they must be.
That's the only reason I really hate Nebraska is because they just live in a fantasy of them still being a nationally potent team.
Yeah, relevant.
And it's just not the fact anymore, you know? Like, there's a lot of other teams I hate in the Big Ten, but at least their fan bases aren't so naive and, you know, have their heads so far up their asses that you just hear the entire state jawing all year long when they've gone 4-8 the past two seasons.
Yeah, it's not 1999 anymore.
I hate it because it gives, like, Nebraska, like, relevance. I don't know why they would do that, but I think I don't know what the worst blowouts on game day have ever been at game day sites. This could top it. This might be the new record.
So let me try and gather all my thoughts here for the people because I know that they need something in their day. They got that AB little bit. So I
right. Well, 30 to 40% of the questions I asked for ended up just being, let Drake rant on Nebraska for 10 minutes. So, so gather your thoughts here.
Oh, here's my idea, is that it is a stretch. Like, it really must mean that they have to fill a College game day show, and this is one of the times where they would have taken it to North Dakota State, but they must not be playing anybody good either. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll go test the water somewhere rather than literally taking the set to watch somebody get their asshole pushed in. So that's pretty much my prediction for the game. But the funny thing about it is that Nebraska has to take their ego, similar to AB, and their fake sellout record, and they have to stuff that stadium full of 90,000 people just to keep that bullshit going, just to watch their team walk into an absolute slaughter. Like, it's a lamb to a slaughter because this Ohio State team is kicking on all cylinders. And Nebraska looks like, you know, a MAC team. They look like they should probably be playing Northern Illinois every week. It seems like a more favorable matchup for them. I don't know. I'm really excited to watch it. It's on my queue for things that I need to watch. You know, fans, no profanity really in this.
I was gonna say it's not even like a time to shit talk.
No, it's almost not. Like, I'm honestly mourning the fact. Well, not really mourning it, but like, you know, I'm giving them a little bit of respect, little subdued attitude to the fact that they are walking into their own murder.
I blame myself for ever trusting them to do anything worth a damn in that school's entire existence. And
are they dead to you forever now? Like, is Iowa State just dead forever on the line no matter what?
No, absolutely no matter fucking what. I hold grudges when it comes to betting, and Iowa State will absolutely never get my money on them ever again. I don't care if they're getting 70 points and all they have to do is lose by 69. I'm not putting my money on them ever again. Fuck State.
Not nearly.
Yeah, man. We'll see if we can't get the parlay train back and rolling. I'll try not to pick any teams like that fuck stick team out in Ames.
and you're probably gonna want to try and stay away from the team out west of state, huh?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that game. Yeah.
We should probably touch on that real quick. Let's touch on that.
First off, I mean, thank you to Nebraska for having such a soft fucking team. I mean, y'all made me a lot of money on that game. I appreciate it. Granted, I gave it right back, but it was fun to have for a little bit. I think you guys talked about it. I loved that game. Ohio State minus 17. Ohio State had been rolling over everyone all year. Nebraska like tried to lose to Illinois, lost, like gave up a game to Colorado. Like, they just don't look like a good football team right now. And nope. Jerick, I'm just going to leave it to you to put them in the dirt right now.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
You know, I put on Twitter that they honestly deserve a moment of respect because, like, even when your worst enemy dies, you still got to take a moment to just be like, okay, you know, rest in peace. You're gone now, scum. And that's just kind of what the Nebraska program is. Like, they still had that little glimmer of hope that they were actually worth a shit. And even though they were just squeaking by people, they just thought that, like, oh, it's okay. We're still good to go. And I think they just got proven that they are, like, so, so far from ever being elite again. Like, their players are quitters. The only good thing that I saw out of that game was that Scott Frost brought back the 1990, like, I formation QB options. That was kind of cool to see. But aside from that, that team is one of the worst football teams that I could have ever imagined coming from that school, like from somebody from a place that thinks that they're so high and mighty. Like, what does being down 49-0 at home feel like? Like, that is actually like genitalia in mouth gagging.
Okay, let's take it easy. I don't know, man. Let's take it easy with
what
the
visuals. Suffocating
there,
feel like. Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 54 of the podcast. And this week we are playing the PP Touchers. First off,
want to open this episode by saying that we do not condone pedophilia. It's gross and immoral. But with that being said, Penn State clearly does. Joe Pond knew, karma got him. Sandusky is likely getting a dose of karma every night in prison. Hopefully we can give Penn State a dose of karma Saturday night. I've got nothing left to say. Here we go. What I'm not going to digress on is the fact that Northwestern's offense looks worse than Pat Fitzgerald's man tits. That's one of the worst football teams I've ever seen. I'm glad that one's behind us. We had to go into a shitty environment, shitty locker room, smells like buttholes, and come out of there with a win, but that's good. And we got the job done, so let's talk about it. And here we go. So, man, I hated camp. Like, I'm trying to compare it in a funny manner. I literally hated camp like the United States of America hated Bin Laden. Wow. Okay. And the fact that we had to have two camps in the same season, like you go through a camp and absolutely hate your life when you're a young kid. And then you go through a season where you don't play and you're just a tackling dummy. And then you have to go through another camp on the tail end of being a tackling dummy for an entire season just to go through a bunch more Devo. Like, that year made me want to quit football so many times over that I don't even know how I didn't do it.
Yeah, it was.
But then the light at the end of the tunnel, and like the grass was greener on the other side, was that we banged off 12 in a row, went to the Big Ten championship and the Rose Bowl. So it's like, hey, I'm really glad we did it. And yeah. Coach Ferentz is a genius, but in 2014, I hated his guts. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
So here's a funny story. Here's a funny story that you guys will all appreciate. Being that I'm a pretty brash individual, and I probably don't come off as somebody who lacks confidence. The year that we went to Tampa for the second time after I broke my leg, I had been at the casino, right? I was already pushing curfew as it was, but hey, like, I was the guy who broke his leg and I'm not playing. So what, like, what's the big deal? So I had come off a winning poker session and I was pushing curfew. I was outside of the Hard Rock with a little bit of anxiety because I had a bunch of money in my pocket and my Uber was late. And I'm like, dude, I got to get back to the hotel. This is bullshit. On my scooter, leg all busted up. And out walks three dudes from Florida, two defensive linemen and one offensive lineman. And it's just me on my scooter. I'm obviously associated with the team. Like, there's not just some random busted up white dude outside the casino that's college age, you know. Like, I had all this money in my pocket. I honestly thought I was getting my ass whooped while I already had a broke leg. I was already on a scooter. Like, you know, I was already running bad in life. And I thought for sure right there in that moment, I was getting my ass whooped and mugged outside the Hard Rock. Turns out they were actually nice dudes. We chopped it up a little bit, talked a little shit about the game back and forth, wished each other good luck. I didn't get mugged and lose my money. I didn't end up with an extra broken leg or anything like that. But they booty pumped us, so.
And finally, number one, two monologues from the same episode entitled The Most Important Washed Up Walk-Ons Yet, where Kevin and I get real and go into some conversations that get a little bit uncomfortable and take Hawkeye fans to a place that they needed to be. We give the Hawk fans and Washed Up Walk-Ons Nation everything they wanted to hear and more. And now we're just an 8-4 football team. We're only going to get 9 wins this year. We're only going to get 8 wins this year. We're a mediocre program. We're a stale program. These are all things I've heard. We are just another team. I want you guys to do some serious research, those who really feel this way. I know a lot of you will listen to this. It's Monday when this comes out, and especially those who don't listen right away. It's a full 2 days, maybe 3-4 days after the game. Your initial possibly intoxicated emotions derived from the game have calmed and settled. I want you to get on the internet. And I want you to look up the final standings of last year, and then I want you to take away the bowl game wins from all the teams that actually had a bowl win, because those don't count, including Iowa, which puts them at 8-4 last year. And I want you to actually see how many teams won 8 games during the regular season. Now I want you to go back and do that over the last 10 seasons, right? 2012 was a bad year. 2014, we got 7. But I want you to go back and see how many teams over a 10-year span have averaged the same amount of wins that Iowa has. And I get it. I get it, man. Alabama averages 10.2 wins a year, or like 10.8 wins a year. I get it. And that's not what we're shooting for. I understand that that's not the goal. That's not what I'm saying either. Just because we do average 8 wins, 7.7 wins a year, that doesn't mean that's what we should be shooting for. And I promise, as we've told you many times before, it's not. Every year, the goal is to win every game, win the West, go to the Big Ten Championship, compete for a championship, and then make a great bowl game. But 8-4 being stale, here's what I think, and I want to get your two thoughts on it, because I know the people don't like hearing me talk. They want to hear your thoughts. What do you guys think about this idea that I have, that the Hawks have literally lulled our fans into this? We've almost done it to ourselves, because we've been such a consistent program over the years, and we've had no dips almost. Our worst year was 2012 in the past decade. I don't even remember how many games they won. 4 games, maybe.
Yep, 4-8.
And other than that, we win at least half of our games or more every year, usually closer to 8 or 9 by the time you get a bowl game win. And I think our fans have been spoiled. And I realize that that's going to stir up some fire in some of you guys. We're spoiled with 8 wins a year. Okay. You guys have been spoiled by such a consistency that 8-4 is now bad. 8-4 is now average. And I think you guys, if you really sit down and look at it, it's not average. And again, that's not what we're shooting for. I had someone tell me that it's just frustrating not to see us in the Big Ten Championship every year. My guy. And maybe, and we texted before the podcast, Drake and I. I said, maybe we're just fucking homers, you know? Played for the program. Maybe we're just blind to it. But I think that we have a decent platform to stand on here and say, if your expectation is the Big Ten Championship every year, you need to reevaluate your expectations. I'm not saying that we shouldn't shoot for 9-10 wins a year. Now, go and look how many teams finish with 9-10 wins a year. You won't find many on average. Are we capable of winning that almost every year? Yes. But go and look and see how many teams have proved such consistency. Do you want to be Michigan State? Michigan State's been in the Big Ten title game 3 times since the inception. But would you like to be Michigan State right now? They let Illinois come back and beat them from a 28-3 deficit yesterday. Do you want to have those peaks and valleys? These are the questions that I'm seriously asking to the Iowa fan base. Do you want to be Nebraska? They fired a coach that was, you know, winning about 8 or 9 games every year. And look where they're at now. Look what that does to a program. I understand that it would be nice to every third year get a 10 or 11 win season and have one of those years we had in 2015. I get it. As a fan, that would be really fucking cool, man. But at a macro level, when you think that you're mediocre and you get bored with winning games, just look at the Nebraska program. Bo Pelini, you know, people have your opinions on him and how he was as a coach. He won fucking 8-9 games a year at Nebraska. Wasn't good enough. They fire him. What have they done since? The programs that do that, The people out there who are thinking that we should fire Ferentz because he wins us 8 games a year are asking for us to peak and valley like no tomorrow. And we'll be, and if we do that, there's a better chance than not that we would look like Nebraska in a few years. We would try to bring in a new coach, a whole new system. The guys would be playing for now a guy that they didn't get recruited by. It'd be a whole new dynamic of the team. That guy would start to bring in his type of players. Those players wouldn't mesh. You'd have a coach that is talking about how, and Scott Frost has done this, how once he gets his guys in there, once everybody is his guy, then they'll be, you're asking for a roller coaster. And I get it. Those years at the top of the roller coaster, they feel really, really good. 10 wins feels good. An 11th win in a bowl game feels great. But what would you be saying? What would you be saying in those years right now where Nebraska's at? 4 wins last year? Or 6 wins last year? I don't remember even. Gonna get maybe 5 wins this year? Then you'd be... What are you asking for another coach 3 years later? What's the solution then? Do we just wait for that peak? Is that what you want as a fan? Do you as a fan want us to win 10 games every fourth year and then win 6 the other years? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
And that's what's frustrating. As you know, we're fans too now. We're not players anymore. We're fans. And it's frustrating for us. It was frustrating watching that game. You know, when it was 21-6 going in the fourth quarter, I'm like, you know, tomorrow when we record this podcast, I'm not really going to have too many positive things to say. And then they go off and, you know, the offense finds some life. Nate Stanley starts playing like an absolute savage. We claw back into that game. And I'm like, okay, you know, these boys, they have some fight in them. They have some fight in them. That is a positive thing I can say. They didn't quit. They, you know, they're down 21-6 in a hostile environment in Camp Randall. Like, a lot of teams can roll over there. And then, you know, especially against a team that's running the ball, and just, you know, a lot of teams can roll over there and just roll over and die and head back to where the fuck they came from, and, you know. You know, they came out, they kept fighting. The effort's there. The execution is not. Somebody's got to come up with the big plays. We're not coming up with the big plays. If we want to look at a closer look at the actual game, this one's not on Nate Stanley. It's not on Brian Ferentz. It's not on the offense. If you told me as a defensive player that we're going to get 22 points against the Wisconsin Badgers, one of the best defenses in the country, I'm like, that's enough. We'll do our job. That's my mindset as a defensive player. You give me 22 points, that is more than enough. We got it from here. That is my mindset. That was Josie Jewell's mindset. That was Nate Budgett's mindset. That was Jordan Lomax's mindset. That was all the great defensive players throughout our time at Iowa football's mindset. 22 points, more than enough. We got this, boys. Defense didn't get done yesterday. Not on the offense. It's on the defense. Phil Parker will tell you that. Seth Wallace will tell you that. KB will tell you that. Anyone on that defense will tell you that. That's on us.
Kev, that got my heart rate up a lot, boys.
I think I'm going to cry.
That's on us, man. You know, Wisconsin ran the ball for 300 yards. We, you know, I
was ready to run through my TV to get off a fucking block. Man,
dude. We had D linemen out of gaps. We started bringing some pressure. So when we had to start stunting our D linemen, we didn't get in gaps. Boom, there's 12 yards right there. Our linebackers struggled to get off blocks versus their massive offensive line, which is a good offensive line, always has been.
One of the best.
At one point, you gotta sack up, get off a block, and make a play. When we do make contact with Taylor, he drags us for another 3 yards. Coach Doyle said every time we played this fucking team, the more physical team would win. Wisconsin was the more physical team yesterday.
which is heartbreaking to say because that's what we pride ourselves on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think I said on Thursday, turnovers would be huge. Time of possession would be huge. We won the turnover battle 2-1. But that one that we gave up, you know, that killed a lot of momentum. I think it was like 7-6 the time when we had the fumble snap. But time of possession, I think they had that ball for 38 minutes. Defense couldn't get off the field at times. And it's hard to win when the offense only has the ball for a third of the game. Hard to win when your defense is on the field for 40 minutes.
It's hard to score points, man. You only get the ball 20 minutes. You don't have that much time, or you don't have that many possessions to work with.
100%, man. So I tell you, if there's one thing that the football program, the Iowa football program about, is good at, it's owning your mistakes. The defense is going to meet today, and they're going to close off the half of the team room. You know, Brian's going to start talking his thing. Phil's going to be quiet for about 4 minutes. Be like, boys, we didn't get the job done. They're going to go over our goals. You know, yards per rush, passes per yards per pass attempt, turnovers, points, and he's going to be like, you know what? We got some of our goals, but we didn't get the most important one. We didn't get the win. So none of it even fucking matters. They're going to go off in their individual meetings, you know, and each one of them, in each of their position groups, are going to take 30 seconds to a minute to reflect with their position groups. Like, we didn't get done. What can we do better? The coaches, players, what can I do better to help make you better? The players should ask the coaches after meetings, what do I need to get better at? Help me. Help me be the best player I can be. Help me be the best coach I can be.
I definitely agree with what Kevin's saying, man, because self-reflection goes a long way. You can try and make excuses, or you can just look yourself directly in the mirror and say, like, I wasn't good enough and I will be better. And if every player in that building does that, and the coaches as well, and they just keep attacking the season with everything they have, there's a lot of upside left in this season and in this team, because they show that they have it in them.
They absolutely do. And you talk about self-reflection, man. 2017. I couldn't sleep nights after losses. Couldn't fucking sleep. You know why? It's because I was a captain of that fucking team. And it's on me first. It's on me to make sure the guys are ready. It's on me to make sure that special teams unit is perfect every fucking kick. Whenever there is something that went wrong, I owned it. That's my fault. I should have helped him out. He's a freshman. He doesn't fucking know. That's on me. You know, and I just hope the boys that they take this and they go
out. I hope they listen to this.
They go out and they take this hurt, because it fucking hurts. Every fucking loss hurts. You think your tweets hurt them? They don't give a fuck about your tweets. They don't give a fuck about your tweets. They don't give a fuck what you say about Coach Ferentz. They don't give a fuck what you say about Brian. They don't give a fuck what you say about Nate. They don't give a fuck about any of you. They love you for your support. That we love when you come out to games. We love that you support us. But we don't give a shit what you guys say on Twitter, because we only care about the 105 guys in the locker room and the 20 coaches. That's it. That's all that matters. You think KF cares what you think, that we should fire him? He gets offers from the NFL every fucking year. He doesn't need Iowa. Iowa needs KF.
Iowa needs KF.
So these boys, you know, we can still win 10 games this year. I think we should win 10 games this year. We have a hot team coming from Minneapolis, and they want the fucking pig. The pig's been in our building since 2015. You know, if these guys really have some balls, we're going to find out this week. We're going to find out this week. That's my monologue.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.